From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Egypt's military leaders say they will support President Hosni Mubarak's decision to stay in office while transferring most of his powers to his vice president. The announcement came as protesters are again jamming Cairo's central square, rejecting Mubarak's refusal to step down. The military chiefs did say that once the current protests have ended, they will guarantee the lifting of Egypt's 30-year state of emergency, which has been used by Mubarak to thwart political dissent. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro is in Cairo's main square, and she says there's anger there over the stands of both Mubarak and the military.
Huge despondency after the announcement by Hosni Mubarak. I think another blow today by what the military has said as well. A real feeling that they are going to have to wait it out as long as possible and really push their protest movement out onto the streets of Cairo in a broader fashion.
NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro. The protest and the disappointment are not confined to Cairo. NPR's Corey Flintoff is in Alexandria, Egypt.
There are at least several thousand people here. It's an anti-Mubarak protest. People are saying they're absolutely determined that Mubarak must go. They're not satisfied by anything that either the president or top officials or, in fact, that the army has said.
NPR's Corey Flintoff in Alexandria says the crowd is expected to grow rapidly after Friday prayers. President Obama has issued a statement criticizing Mubarak. He says it's not clear that an immediate, meaningful transition to democracy is taking place. The director of national intelligence is giving U.S. intelligence agencies a B-plus on Egypt. James Clapper says after reviewing numerous reports, he has concluded the intelligence community has done, in his words, yeoman's work in tracking the uprisings in Egypt and Tunisia. Clapper is also telling lawmakers that cuts in intelligence spending come at a time the nation faces ongoing threats from al-Qaeda.
Counterterrorism is our top priority because job one for the intelligence community, in my view, is to keep Americans safe and the homeland secure.
Clapper testifying before the House Intelligence Committee. The Obama administration unveils this morning its plan for the future of mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which were taken into government conservatorship at the height of the financial crisis. NPR's Tamara Keith reports they're costing taxpayers billions of dollars.
More than $130 billion and counting. But here's the thing. Fannie and Freddie also now totally dominate the nation's housing finance system. The Obama administration's plan is expected to call for their role to be reduced. But it's a careful balance given the fragile state of the housing market, says Guy Sakala. He's the publisher of Inside Mortgage Finance.
It's a huge problem that you can't do anything immediately on without having major repercussions.
So he says any sweeping reforms would be years out. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News. Police in Pakistan say their investigation into the fatal shootings of two Pakistani citizens last month has concluded that the American charged in the killings, Raymond Davis, did not act in self-defense. The State Department insists that Davis was trying to protect himself when the Pakistanis tried to rob him. U.S. officials insist Davis has diplomatic immunity from any charges and should not be held, but a Pakistani court has ordered his detention extended by 14 days. A former congressional staff member is set to be sentenced today for his role in a corruption scandal on Capitol Hill. NPR's Peter Overby reports Michael Scanlon's cooperation with prosecutors has led to 21 convictions.
When their scheme unraveled, Scanlon beat out his business partner, lobbyist Jack Abramoff, in cutting a deal with prosecutors. So Abramoff got 4 years in prison, double what prosecutors are now recommending for Scanlon. Defense attorneys say Scanlon has already been punished mightily and shouldn't be incarcerated that long. Also convicted in the probe were the Bush administration's top contracting official, the second in command at the Bush Interior Department, and Republican Congressman Bob Ney. On Thursday, a federal jury convicted the last defendant in the Abramoff pipeline. In 2003, Frank Verruccio, then an aide to GOP Congressman Don Young, let lobbyists pay his way to the World Series opener. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
Much of the eastern two-thirds of the nation is shivering and single-digit temperatures are lower today. Brian Cordy is with the National Weather Service.
Temperatures, for instance, across the northeast range from the single digits to minus negative numbers across portions of New York State. And the Great Lakes are seeing the same type of temperatures.
But Cordy says a warm-up is on the way. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.
Support for NPR.